Medicine errors, infections, pressure ulcers, they kill tens of thousands of hospital patients every year. No wonder people say hospitals are where you go to die. But in the last several years, the level of preventable harm has fallen nearly 40%, and that's due in large part to a concerted effort by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. Working in concert with 3,700 hospitals under its Partnership for Patients program. Dennis Wagner is the Director of Quality Improvement and Innovation Group Centers at CMS. He, along with Chief Medical Officer Paul McGann and Deputy Director Jean Moody Williams, are finalists in this year's Service to America Medals program, and Mr. Wagner joins me now. Good to have you on.
Great to be here, Tom. Thank you.
All right, so tell us about this Partnership for Patients. This is something that came to mind because of a high level of preventable deaths in hospitals?
That's right. Hospitals, as you said, are dangerous places. All sorts of medical errors can occur in a hospital. And, you know, no hospital and no caregiver in a hospital wants to cause medical errors or harm to patients. But it happens. There are problems with adverse drug events, mistakes with medications, infections that you get in the hospital from the surfaces in the hospital and the contamination or the bacteria that are present, you know, in that environment. So the good news is that many hospitals have figured out how to prevent these problems, how to prevent the infections, how to prevent the pressure ulcers, the adverse drug events. And our work is really about exposing the best practices that already exist in hospitals across the country and then helping other hospitals with system, method, and discipline to replicate and adapt those practices and implement them in their hospitals. And that's really what the Partnership for Patients has been about. It's really shining a light on what's working and then rapidly spreading it with discipline and system and method.
And how were you able to identify the hospitals that were not dangerous or that had good procedures in the first place?
Great question. You know, everything that we do is grounded in data, and the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services collects an extraordinary amount of data from hospitals and other, you know, caregiving organizations, nursing homes, clinical practices, home health, and others from across the nation. And so we have access to really huge data sets that allow us to identify the places where hospital performance is exceptional. We also team with a lot of other organizations outside of the government that are very expert in the business of identifying places that are great at what they do and are able to join with us, you know, as partners in spreading those things. The Institute for Healthcare Improvement is one such organization. They're an international organization headquartered in Boston. And their former CEO actually served for about 18 months as the administrator of CMS. His name is Don Berwick. He's a medical doctor, internationally recognized.
I've had him on the show in years past.
Yeah. So he was one of the key leaders that actually developed the blueprint and the design for the Partnership for Patients. And Dr. McGann and myself and Jean Moody Williams were really, I would say, fortunate to be tapped by Don Berwick to lead this work and the implementation of it nationwide.
So by having all of this data, then you can tell what the average is for a particular malady, and then you can also identify places that are out of band either on the high end or the low end.
That's correct. Although I think what I would say about that is everyone, even the highest performers, can improve. The levels of harm that exist in U.S. hospitals are really unacceptable, and even the very best performing hospitals have considerable room for improvement. I'll maybe, if you think it's appropriate, Tom, I give you a little bit of data about that.
Please do.
So in 2010, before the Partnership for Patients was launched, we collected a random sample of 30,000 patient charts from hospitals across the United States, and we went through all those charts and we counted every time a patient was harmed. So, for example, if a patient's in a hospital and slips, falls, and breaks their arm, that will show up in the chart, and the treatment for that, of course, will show up in the chart. If a patient gets an infection during their hospital stay from the hospital, that will show up in the chart. So we counted 30,000 charts, and some of these charts are literally boxes of data on individual patients, some of whom have been in hospitals for very long periods of time in intensive care units. And we established a baseline. And the baseline, I'm sad to report, was 145 harms per 1,000 discharges. So for every 1,000 discharges in U.S. hospitals, on average, there are 145 harms that occur to those patients. And we replicate that method of counting and measuring every single year so that we can track progress over time. And we've made remarkable progress, a 39% reduction in preventable harm for the period 2011 through the end of 2014. But we've got a long ways to go. Even with all the improvements that I described, we're currently at 121 harms per 1,000 discharges. Now, there are hospitals that are good, but even the very best will be quick to say that there are many areas that they can improve.
We're speaking with Dennis Wagner. He's the director of Quality Improvement and Innovation Group Centers at the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. And how were you able to convince hospitals, where often the medical directors and the executive directors are pretty proud people, to admit they had a problem and try to solve it in concert with CMS and other institutions?
Yeah, well, I think in a way what you said there at the end about other institutions was critically important to the success that nationally all of us experienced with hospital participation. There are about 5,000 acute short-stay hospitals in the United States, and nearly 4,000 of those hospitals formally enrolled into the Partnership for Patients. Most of the other hospitals would also say that they were influenced by or experienced benefits from the Partnership for Patients, but really about 80% of the hospitals in the nation became formally part of this. And I would say that they did it for a number of reasons, harking back to your what you said about other institutions. This was a full-court press. So CMS didn't do this alone. We teamed up with the Centers for Disease Control, the Department of Defense, the Veterans Administration, the U.S. Office of Personnel Management, the Agency for Healthcare Research on Quality, the Health Resources and Services Administration. Those are all federal partners, but we also teamed up with many private partners, the American Hospital Association, the American Nurses Association, the American College of Surgeons, the National Business Group on Health, and many others to both enroll the hospitals, but then to use every available lever, whether it's the platform or the national meeting of a not-for-profit organization, or data reporting systems that CDC runs to count and measure and improve on infection rates. We used every available lever to support the hospitals and to influence them in this work. The other thing I would say about that is that, you know, no doctor or nurse or caregiver or pharmacist in a hospital wants to harm a patient. You know, that's the last thing they want to do. You know, they got into this work because they want to help people. And so there is a tremendous groundswell of motivation and commitment to reduce harm in hospitals that is part of this work. And, you know, our job is really, it's shining a light on what's working and then helping people who want to get better to get better. A colleague of mine years ago made the observation that there's really two ways to brighten the world. You can be the candle that makes the light, or you can be the mirror that reflects and amplifies it. And a lot of the work that we have done here at CMS and our partners, both the private organizations and our federal partners, has really been to reflect and amplify the lights that are already in the systems as a way of really brightening the world and reducing error in these hospitals.
Couple of quick questions. Did VA hospitals and also DOD facilities participate?
Yes, absolutely. And we had some just fascinating and unusual additional partnerships that developed. The U.S. Office of Personnel Management. So we didn't really realize this until we began to systematically reach out to other agencies around this work. And in a way, it's a no-brainer, but the U.S. Office of Personnel Management oversees the federal employees' health benefit plans, which provide coverage for millions of federal workers and their families. And, of course, they want good care, right? So leaders at the U.S. Office of Personnel Management teamed up with us to get the health insurance plans that serve federal employees to work with their hospitals, their contracted hospitals, to set aims and reduce harm in those hospitals. So, you know, it really is astonishing, you know, when you look at the breadth of what happens in the federal government, at the ways that we can team up to make things better for the patients that we serve.
Dennis Wagner is Director of Quality Improvement and Innovation Group Centers at the Centers for Medicaid and Medicare Services. And along with Chief Medical Officer Paul McCann and Deputy Director Jean Moody Williams, he's a finalist in this year's SAMMY's Awards. Thanks so much for joining me.
It's been a real pleasure, Tom. Thank you for having me.
Read more and share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click Share with Friends.